All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 18. John's Gospel, chapter 18, for the message this morning. John, chapter 18. Now, I guess all of you saw that we're having Brother Lou Rossi come do our revival meeting this year. Brother Lou is back on the sawdust trail, so to speak, back in evangelism. And so I thought, well, we'll just bring him here and let him loose. And so I'm looking forward to it. I know you are as well. It'll be a good 4 days and five messages, 4 days. And so it'll be good. Start preparing now and praying now. And let's trust the Lord to give us a great spring revival meeting. All right. All right. Let's look, please, at verse 33. Verse 33 of this 18th chapter of John. And in verse 33, you will notice here, the Bible says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. And John adds, now Barabbas was a robber. He was a thief. That's not without purpose that he told us that Barabbas was a robber. All right, so I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, making the right choice. Making the right choice. I'm going to tell you right now, the people didn't make the right choice. They made the right choice so far as the plan of God was concerned. But they did not make the right choice in that they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless, and then the message. Father, thank you now for the opportunity to open your precious eternal word. And Father, I pray that you will bless as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning. I pray that you will help me as I speak. I pray you'll bless our folks as they listen. And Father, may the Holy Spirit of God apply the word of God where it's needed today. Father, you know the need of every person, and I pray that you will bless in a great way and bring honor and glory to yourself. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. life is filled with choices. We all know that, don't we? Life is filled with choices. Every day, we make several choices. Most often, we make good choices, or at least I hope we do. But let's be honest, sometimes we do not. There are times where we will make a decision, and then just shortly after we have made the decision, we go, ugh, why did I do that? Why did I make that choice? Well, carrots cut up into little sticks, or carrot cake that has cream cheese icing on it that is so good, it even makes carrots edible. You know what I mean? But which choice are you going to make? You know, if given the choice, I'm going to take the carrot cake. I'll be honest with you. That's not always the good choice. But nonetheless, it's that cream cheese icing that gets me every time. Is there any way you can put cream cheese icing on chili for tonight? Anybody know? I don't think so, but if anybody has a plan, let me know. I would enjoy that. But the truth is, folks, every day we make choices, don't we? And sometimes our choices come back to haunt us. I have said to you many, many times through the years that it's just my personal opinion that more often than not, society puts pressure on us to choose things which, let's be honest, we are really not ready to make a choice about. That's true. I think things like college, things like a career, things like marriage, things like choosing to start a family. You know, all these things are choices that we make, and very often we are not really ready to make those decisions and those choices in life. I know when I went to college, I was 17 years old. I turned 18 just a few weeks later after I got to school, but the simple truth of the matter is I was not ready to go to school. I was so immature, naive, so foolish, but the Lord tolerated my ignorance and helped me along, for which I am very thankful that He did. But oh, how important it is that we make the right choices in life. I remember about a month and a half into college. It was about the middle of October, and I was so homesick that I thought I was going to just crawl in a corner somewhere and die. And I called home, and my mom answered the phone, and I said, I can't handle this. And my mom said, what do you mean you can't handle this? And I said, I can't handle college. I don't like being here. And she said, well, let me let you talk to your dad. That was the last thing I wanted her to say. I wanted her to say, I'll be down tomorrow. She didn't say that. She said, let me talk to your dad. And before I could say, no, 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 she put Dad on the phone. And he said, what's wrong? And I said, I'm homesick. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, that's tough. I said, no, Dad, you don't understand. He said, no, I was in the Marine Corps. Tell me about it. I said, well, never mind. So that didn't work very well. But I'm glad they didn't let me come home. I'm so glad they didn't let me come home. You see, but a lot of our decisions that we make, I think a lot of young people feel pressure to get married, and they get married, oh, my, 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 you better make the right choice there. You're in for a world of difficulty if you make the wrong choice there. But decisions. Now, when the Lord Jesus was on trial before Pontius Pilate, who was the governor, it was evident to him that Jesus was not guilty of any crime. It was obvious to Pilate. Anybody with a brain could have figured out and seen that the Lord Jesus was not a criminal. And yet the Jews had delivered the Lord Jesus to Pilate with every intention of having him declared guilty of a crime. And their crime was that he was seditious. Their crime was that he claimed to be God. His crimes were not things that that were worthy of execution. And Pilate knew that. But yet they kept on and they kept on. And Pilate said, I don't see any problem with this man. I find no fault in him, Pilate said. And then they said, somebody said, well, Herod is here. Send him over to Herod. So they sent the Lord Jesus over to Herod. And Herod evidently didn't see any fault in him either. So Herod sent him back and to face Pilate again. And that's where we are in verse 33 when we pick up the story. We find that Jesus is once again standing before Pontius Pilate, the governor, and Herod was the king. And so the king had more authority than the governor, of course. That's why Pilate sent him over there. But he sent him back to Pilate, and now Pilate is in a real jam. He knows Jesus has not done anything that is worthy of death. And so he tries his best to wiggle out of the situation. But notice here that Pilate did not have the character to speak up and stand up for the truth. Pilate just simply did not have the character to stand up and do what was right. You see, Pilate was a politician. Yeah, he was a politician through and through. And as a politician, he wanted to keep his office, his position. And so he resorted to a little trick and literally depended upon what he thought was the sanity of the Jews. Oh, that was a mistake right there. There was no sanity in these people whatsoever. And yet he decided that he would use an old trick and put the burden upon the Jews. And so what he did was he came out and he told the people that at every year at Passover time, there was a custom. And the custom was that the Romans would release a well-known prisoner to try to placate the Jews. And so he offered them, which do you want? Do you want Jesus? And I really believe that Barabbas was the worst of the two criminals. I really think he was. I think that Luke tells us that he was a murderer. So he had killed people. As a revolutionary, he had killed people. And then we're told here by John that he was a thief, a thief. And so I think of the criminals that were being held that day, I think that Pontius Pilate brought out Barabbas being the worst of the worst. I cannot prove it, but I would, in my mind's eye, I see Barabbas as nothing more than just one of these thugs, you know, just one of these old grimy looking, you know, hair everywhere, angry face, angry eyes, a snarl on his in his mouth, and a gnarl in his teeth. I just see the man standing there just as ugly as he can be. And then Jesus on the other side. And Pilate looks at the people and says, Here's your chance. Do the right thing. Make the right decision. I think that's what Pilate was trying to get them to do. And so he has this awful person standing here. Everyone knows him. Everyone knows that he is a criminal and deserves to be crucified. And then there's Jesus. And Pilate looks at him and says, you choose. And I think in his mind, he thought for sure that these people would make the right choice. But guess what? They didn't. They didn't. And tradition says that that's what drove Pontius Pilate crazy. He lost his mind. Because ultimately, you can't put the burden on someone else. You can't blame someone else, Pilate. Good try. And that proved to be the truth, didn't it? He tried to blame the Jews. He tried to put it over on the Jews. But he knew that it was his choice. And while they made the wrong choice, I'm telling you, folks, Pilate made the wrong choice too. Let him be crucified, he said. Oh my, what a shame. To Pilate's shock and dismay. Hey, folks, listen. The Lord Jesus was a much, much, much better man than Barabbas. And old Pilate thought for sure that the people would choose Jesus and would let Pilate off the hook here, so to speak, and not force his hand to have to execute the Son of God. But to Pilate's shock and dismay, the people chose Barabbas. Pilate was shocked, and he could not believe the foolishness of the Jews. Now, folks, let me show you something here. Barabbas, B-A-R, that means the son of. The son of. You remember when Jesus was getting serious with Peter, he would say to him, Simon, his name was Simon Peter, and he would call him Simon Bar Jonah, to distinguish him from all the other Simons. Simon bar Jonah. In other words, Simon, the son of Jonah. So that there's no mistaking which Simon was being spoken of. All right? And so bar means the son of. Abba, A-B-B-A. Abba means father. Now, you think about that for just a moment. What an amazing picture we see here. The son of the father goes free. The sinner. The sinner, the son of the father. Where'd you get your sin nature? You inherited it from your father. All right? That makes a lot of fathers nervous, doesn't it? I mean, you look at your kids and you think, oh my goodness, they don't have a chance. True. Well, they do if they get saved. All right, but the son of the father goes free. Barabbas, Bar Abbas, went free. While the son of God, by the way, who had no fault in him, the Son of God went to the cross. He was declared guilty even though he had no fault in him. So the Son of the Father went free, the guilty went free, while the innocent Son of God went to the cross. Amazing, isn't it? What a beautiful picture that is. You see, folks, they cried, "Release unto us Barabbas." What a shame. "Release unto us one like us." Do you see that? Barabbas. We're all Barabbas. We're all Barabbas. Every one of us is the son of a father. We're all sinners. That's what the Bible says. For all have sinned. We're all like Barabbas. We're all guilty of sin against God. And that guilt is what will ultimately send us to hell for eternity to pay the wages that we owe for our sin. Unless you trust Christ as your Savior. All right, so it is a shame today. Because sadly, folks, this world is still choosing Barabbas over Jesus. You see, we would rather choose the world and living for the world and in the world rather than stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the people made the wrong choice. Pilate made the wrong choice. And sadly, there are multitudes of people today who are still making the wrong choice when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with that foundation, let me show you just two things this morning. First of all, let's notice the character, or I should say lack of, for Barabbas. The character of Barabbas. You know, I think Pilate did not know humanity well enough to realize that unregenerate mankind will seldom choose character, but will almost always choose something without character. And that's true. I mean, it seemed to me that Pilate thought these Jews that are accusing this innocent man, these Jews who are trying to execute a man who has done nothing wrong, surely if given the choice between a criminal, a real criminal, and Jesus, surely they'll make the right choice. He thought that's what would happen. And he saw that Jesus was not guilty. He saw that Jesus had not done anything that was worthy of death. And I think that he was shocked that the people chose a common thief and a murderer instead of the Lord Jesus. Barabbas had lived his entire life making bad choices. Making bad choices. And was a man without character. Yet, he goes free while the Lord Jesus Christ was sentenced to death. Now, let's look at the character of this man and let's see who he was. First of all, the Bible tells us that he was a revolutionist. He was a revolutionist. Now, what did that mean? Well, you will remember that Israel was under Roman rule in the first century. When the Lord Jesus was on the earth, the Romans had conquered Israel. And they were manipulating every square inch of that land and every moment of their lives. And the Jews chafed under that. You see, the Romans were Gentiles. Gentiles to the Jews were nothing more than dogs. And here they are ruling over the Jews. Oh, it did not sit well at all. And so there were all of these young men who decided that they were going to band together and they were going to rebel against the Romans. And so at every turn, they would sneak up and attack, leave death everywhere, and then go back to the mountains, go back to the hills, go back to the caves where they could not be found. And Barabbas was one of these revolutionists. There were many Jews in our Lord's day who, because of a lack of character, made some horrible choices with their lives and with their futures. And Barabbas was one of those. He tried to overthrow the Roman government. The Romans controlled the nation of Israel, and that very fact made the very proud Jews fill with rebellion and hatred toward their aggressors. They chafed under each and every minute of Roman occupation in their land. They chafed at it. And Barabbas was one of a great number. All right? It wasn't just a few. There were many who revolted against Rome and did their very best to rectify the situation. Back in the book of Mark, chapter 15 and verse 7, we learn a little bit more about Barabbas. We learn from Mark that Barabbas was caught and he was imprisoned when he and his compatriots were in the act of fighting and trying to overthrow the government. So he was a revolutionary and chose a life of murder and mayhem, and chose a life that eventually led to him being arrested and held in prison awaiting his own execution. Mark tells us that Barabbas was the worst of the worst. Now, when given a clear choice, all right, now listen carefully, when given a clear choice to decide which one they would choose, the Jews chose the one, get this now, the Jews chose the one that was just like them. That's who they chose. The one that was just like them. You see, true character does not attract or does not attack Jesus. True character adores Jesus. It doesn't hate him. It loves him. It loves him. They chose the man whose awful character was just like their character. Their character. Notice secondly, folks, not only was Barabbas a revolutionist, but secondly, Barabbas was a robber. A robber. He was a thief. I mean, not only did Barabbas gain the people's hearts by being an insurrectionist, but he also was a crook. And they loved him. He was a crook. Think about that. I mean, he would rob others to finance his own insurrection and his own activities and his own cause. You know, when they needed food, did they go buy it? No, they stole it. They took it from someone else. When they needed money, Barabbas would just go rob someone and probably several other Barabbases, and they would just take the money that they wanted. You see, stealing from others really is a low way to live your life. Would you agree with that? A thief, in my opinion, is one of the lowest of the low. He is saying that he has no character. No character of his own. You have worked hard for what you have, but yet the thief feels his needs and his wants are more important than yours. So he is willing to steal what you have. Unbelievable. That's what a thief does. A thief rebels against the authority. Oh, catch this. A thief rebels against the authority of decency and of what is right. Barabbas was a lot like today's modern politicians who rebel against God's authority and decency. The Bible clearly says, thou shalt not kill. And yet our politicians rebel against the truth of God, thinking that they know more than God knows, and say that it's all right to take a life when it's in the womb. No, it's not. God said so. So why do folks choose the ways of Barabbas instead of choosing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Strange, huh? Would you want to follow Barabbas? I sure wouldn't. No, I think I'll follow Jesus. Thank you very much. I'm going to choose to follow Jesus. Seems to me that the world just wants to follow Barabbas. So Barabbas was chosen to go free, while the Lord Jesus, whose character was spotless, was condemned to die. The unregenerate world we live in does not make it a habit of choosing according to character, but according to convenience. They choose their own and reject the matchless Savior. Secondly, let's notice the choice of Barabbas. The people chose Barabbas. We saw first the character of Barabbas. Well, he's not a nice guy, but yet he's the man the world chooses to follow. You have Barabbas, you have Jesus. I'll take Jesus. But the world takes Barabbas, don't they? You see, the choice of Barabbas by the people, the choice of Barabbas, listen carefully, was a revelation of the people's hearts and resulted in some very uncomfortable results. Let me show you what I mean. First, I want you to notice the rejection in their choice. The rejection. Don't miss this now. The rejection in their choice. I'm going to make a profound statement here. I don't do that very often. All right? But when I was preparing this sermon this week, I didn't spit all over myself. When I was preparing this sermon this week, I wrote this down. I thought, wow, that's good. That's good. All right, so I don't do that very often, so don't miss it, okay? To choose Barabbas meant that the people had rejected Jesus. Do you see that? Don't miss that. To choose Barabbas meant the people had to reject Jesus. When they cried, release unto us Barabbas, they were saying, we choose Barabbas, who is just like us, and we reject Jesus, who is not like us. Did these folks fully understand the severity of the choice they just made? I don't think they did. If they understood the severity of it, they wouldn't have chose Barabbas. I think they were totally convinced that they identified better with Barabbas than they did with Jesus. Now, let me point out the choices here were only two. Barabbas, Jesus. But isn't that usually the way it is? Do you remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? Elijah said, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve. If Baal be God, then follow Baal. If God be God, then follow God." Who'd they choose? They chose Baal. They chose Baal. That's going to backfire. And it sure did. There are only two choices, folks. You remember Joshua on his deathbed? He said to his family, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." He said, "But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And he only gave them one of two choices. He said, either the God of the Amorites, who was not a god, small g god, or the God of heaven. Which are you going to choose? He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The Lord Jesus spoke of this matter in the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, there are only one of two paths that a person can walk on. You can either go on the broad way that leads to destruction, or the straight and narrow way that leads to life. But you only got one of two choices, one of two. Which you going to choose? Whose side you on? There are only one of two roads. And then there in our text is the choice of Barabbas or Jesus. So I guess you can see how important it is to make the right choice, can't you? I mean, if it is choosing Christ or something else, it is so sad, but usually men will reject the Lord Jesus and they will accept the someone else or something else because it's just like them. It's just like them. Oh, dear friend, don't reject the Lord Jesus. This is the wrong choice for anyone to make, and I promise you, down the road, you will regret that decision. Then notice the results of the choice. The results. Barabbas was a thief. Barabbas was a thief. Make no mistake about it, friend. Every choice brings consequences. The people choosing Barabbas over Jesus brought results that I feel sure they could, if they could have had a redo, they would have taken it. There are no redos. You either trust Jesus or you reject Jesus. Barabbas was a thief. Barabbas was an insurrectionist. There was nothing in his life. Hey, folks, listen. Barabbas is no savior. Don't choose him. Barabbas is no savior. He's a thief. He could not deliver one single soul, but Jesus could. You know how I know Jesus could? Because I came to him one day and he accepted me. Amen. People got robbed of peace and joy when they chose Barabbas over Jesus. Barabbas could not deliver one single soul, but Jesus could. Sadly, they rejected Jesus and they chose a thief. Now listen, folks. Jesus gives. Barabbas takes. You see that? When you make a choice, you want to make sure you choose Jesus, because Barabbas is not going to get you anywhere. Choose life, choose hope, choose Jesus. Your eternity depends upon you making the right choice. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, please. Wonder how many folks here this morning will say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. If I die right now, I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm saved." Would you raise your hand and testify that you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? You say, "Pastor, I'm saved. I know it. I know it." Upstairs, downstairs, amen. God bless all of you. Thank you so much. You may put your hands down. Wow, that's a great testimony for the Lord right there. I wonder how many folks will say, "Preacher, I could not raise my hand with everyone else. I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to heaven." And you're right, I need to choose Jesus. I need to choose Jesus. So, preacher, would you pray for me this morning? I won't embarrass you, I promise. I would never do that. But I will see your hand and I will pray for you. And can I do that for you this morning? "Pastor, I'm just not sure. So pray for me." Would you lift your hand and let me ask God to help you this morning? Say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm just not 100% sure that I'm saved and going to heaven." Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up where I can see it and say, "Preacher, pray for me." And I will. Anybody? All right, Father in heaven, you know our needs today. I did not see a hand, and I pray that you will bless the word of God, though, to our hearts and help us, Father, to examine ourselves in the light of your word. I pray that Christians will be stirred. I pray that we'll realize the importance of making the right choices, serving the Lord Jesus, putting Jesus first in our lives, doing what the Lord would have us do instead of what we want to do. And so, Father, bless, I pray, what's been said here today. If there is one soul that's not sure they're saved, may today be the day that you speak to their heart and draw them to yourself. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.